are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
You know, in order to move forward in life, and again, that can be, it relates to life in general, or in this case, more specifically, with your weight training program. As a serious growther, it's definitely a long-ass journey, which is a tough thing for most people to really understand. But one of the things I have now as a real advantage is the fact that I've been doing this for 39 years, training for 39 years. I mean, if to put that in perspective, I did it one time. I did some math, and I just wanted to see, just generally, how many reps and sets potentially that I've done over those 39 years. And of course, I mean, it doesn't take too much understanding to realize that it's millions and millions of repetitions and of sets. But what that does, fast forward to where I'm at now, 39 years down the road, is it gives me clarity. It gives me clarity because I can look back. See, looking back is important in life. And there's a difference between looking back and being obsessed with looking back to the point that you can't move forward. So along the way in your bodybuilding journey, you probably heard this before, bodybuilding isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. And that's, you know, if you consider the fact that the stated goal when you go into the gym to work out, the stated goal is to make every repetition and every set count. Think about that for just a moment, because I can assure you, from having enough time now in the gym, that when you first start, 40% of your movement is wasted movement. I mean, it's a part of the process. You have to go through that. You just can't tell somebody that, you know, in a book or even at a seminar and say, this is what you have to do, like what I'm doing right now, and think that you're going to be able to walk into a gym and make that happen. Because the thing that is left out in that equation is mindset. You have to have a certain mindset to be able to accomplish that. And I'll tell you something. I don't know if you ever really will, because the goalposts keep moving. After you've mastered, you know, in a certain phase that you're in, which takes a number of years, then the goalposts change, because you want to get better. The ideal is to create perfection. And creating perfection in anything that you do is a marathon. So looking back is a very important part of the overall result that you're going to get. You have to be able to look back to move forward. That's what we call true knowledge. It's experience. All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
My dad is so smart, you know, and people that are older that go through life generally are, because they're living something day in and day out that you cannot experience, again, reading something out of a book. You got to live this stuff. So true knowledge is experience. Albert Einstein said that. And to have that power of firsthand experience makes you at some point master or masterful. So that was, you know, that's something that needs to be stated up front, because I think to some degree that's what's missing, because most people don't achieve or accomplish what they want in bodybuilding. You know, not only is it something that is unforgiving, you know, you can cheat yourself in the gym really easily and talk yourself out of the fact that maybe that day, and we do have off days, but those off days sometimes for many people become ongoing off days. And your body is a representation of the struggle and the dedication that you put in and day out. So if you can hang in there and you can become a student of the game, then you'll probably be that 5% that actually achieves most of what you want. As I look back and think about how I learned how to become a bodybuilder, because you have to do that. You have to learn how to become one. I think that in the time that I came through, I started in the early 80s. I think that when the time I came through, there wasn't social media. So you didn't have YouTube, and you didn't have the social media where people are showing you how to do exercise. I think it's a you know, social media is an important platform because of how you can immediately get information. But as it relates to bodybuilding, I think that the time that I came through, when there was magazines that you had to read, and that, again, reading something and watching something obviously is a different dynamic. Some people do learn better by watching. I get that. But I think that when you are having to read, you know, I read as much as I possibly could in all the muscle mags. That's where all the information was. And it was pretty interesting to try to learn from reading and then go apply it in the gym. The gym is a laboratory for the bodybuilder. It's an ongoing experiment to see how the information that you're getting, how it really applies to you. You know, we're all humans, obviously, but even though we're the same in many ways, we're very different in the way our physiology responds to diet, in the way that our physiology responds to exercise. So what does that mean? It means that you have to understand and be willing to take a step day by day for years and years to find out just exactly how these different factors either positively impact you or negatively impact you. And you have to document that to give yourself a chance to get away from that, to look back to see if that particular time that you were trying certain things, maybe you were trying to figure out, you know, how much of free weight training you should do compared to cable training or machine training, because that will give you generally a much different result and a response. Because I would say that you should mostly focus on free weight training. 75% of your training should come from free weight training. But that doesn't mean that it's 100% true for everyone. So if you can't, are not willing, and are not willing to go through that process where some things are going to be you might consider a waste of time when you're talking about putting 3 or 6 months into a certain style of training. Maybe you're resting only 30 seconds in between each set, or maybe you're resting a minute. I mean, these are all factors that you have to rule out what it is that works for you and what doesn't for you. And I think that the difference in learning from a magazine and going into the gym and trying to apply that, I think the process in some ways is slower. But if you think about this, you know, I've said I have in my gym, a saying in the gym, it says, do it right. Do it right the first time. Don't get in a hurry. Accuracy is speed. And I think that reading from a magazine and trying to apply that into the gym, for me, was a slower pace than saying, okay, I'm just going to go to YouTube and learn faster. Again, that's my opinion. I'm not saying that the learning from YouTube or learning from social media isn't a better option, but I just think it's a difference between, learning how to train, learning how to fish to eat, or just having somebody feed you a fish. I just think that it's a different way to learn, and it's a longer lasting in the way that it impacts your, not only your physiology, but also your mind, your brain, because, you know, it's, the thing about it is the mindset that you have to develop to be a bodybuilder probably is going to take a lot more years than actually getting result and seeing your body change. You have to have this certain mindset. It's a warrior mindset. It's being willing to become a student of the game, to understand every aspect of everything that impacts your body. You know, Mr. Tom Platz was somebody that that had a big impact on me, because at some point, I remember I was probably in the training at this point about, I guess, six, seven years, and I had done already one show, maybe two. I probably had done a couple shows, but I found myself at a sticking point. And again, mind you, I'm not looking at social media. So I'm reading these articles and watching, and you know, some of these articles and the information they were giving, and they'd have photos of people actually doing these exercises. And what befuddled me, because I'm pretty strong, what befuddled me when I was, you know, reading these articles and looking at the photos and watching these, I was capturing these guys doing a squat, for example, and they'd actually show the plates that they were doing. And I was thinking, how in the fuck can I be that much weaker than these guys? And I tell you what, it got to the point where I lived 200 miles away from Los Angeles, from the Mecca, Gold's Gym. At some point, I knew instinctively that I had to take a trip to Gold's Gym. I had to see this for myself, because, you know, it's like anything else. When you have, in these different magazines, you have these different experts. And sometimes the information that you're getting, when you ask a certain question about training or diet or whatever it is, as it relates to bodybuilding, if you ask five people in the gym how they train or how they eat, you just might get five different answers. And that starts becoming confusing. I will tell you that as I got into the sport after 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years, in some ways I was actually more confused about what I thought that worked than I was when I first started. If you came to me early on, my answer to something, if you asked me how to put on muscle, I would have a black and white answer. As I got more into it, and as I started learning how magnificent and how your body can respond to so many things, and yet so many things that you try, you're not giving your body a chance to fully adapt to its highest level, some of the answers that I started giving to people actually became more gray. So for me, it was it became a situation to where if somebody had a black and white answer, that made me suspicious, because I don't think there's necessarily a black and white answer. I think the answers are more gray, just because of the, you know, not one training program works for all. I can put you on the same program that Dorian Yates went on, and it's not going to work 100% for everybody. So I think you got to be careful when somebody is so black and white and say, for, you know, I'm 100% sure that the way you should train is to lift heavier weight. And by the way, the answer to that question is that's false. If you want to put on muscle, you don't lift heavier weight, you do more reps. So I go down to Gold's Gym, back to that, and I have to tell you, the first time that I walked into that place, I about shit my pants, because, you know, this is the Mecca. this is, I all of a sudden I saw all these bodybuilders that I saw in these magazines. I mean, that was so surreal. I just couldn't believe it. My first response to that when I saw these people was I said, oh, hell no. There's no fucking way that I can get like that. That was, you know, it was disappointing in a way because the, you know, when I went in, I had a whole different idea about what I thought that I could do until I saw these guys. Now, keep in mind, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing because I learned this over time. Most of those guys aren't natural. I wasn't either at some point. I was in the beginning, but I had to make a choice that if I wanted to keep competing at a higher level, I either had to not compete because even the natural shows, although it's better now, they can beat the drug test. So it's never a level playing field. When you're an athlete that is competitive, you want to compete. So I had people tell me that I sold out. Fuck them. I made a choice, and they have their opinion, and that I'm good with that too. But I started realizing that these guys were getting help, okay? But I want to make sure that you understand that those same bodybuilders, those same people that rise to the top, just like athletes, you take away all the drug use. I want to, you know, really make sure that we talk about that for just a second. You take away the drug use, those very same athletes will be at the top. So I don't want, you know, people too many times to think, oh, yeah, well, you know, I can't get like that because, you know, they're using drugs. And the drugs are what's making them go to the top. No, it's definitely helping. But like I said, those same athletes have, you know, they have, they're so determined because even with drug use, you have to be so determined and motivated and have the willpower to overcome that that's what breaks down most people. It's hard to give a drug to your mind. That's something that you have to develop yourself. So anyway, so I go into Gold's Gym, and once the shock wore off of me, then I really got into the meat of things there because I became a member. Not at first. I used to just, you know, go in here and there, but I became a member because I really wanted to see how those bodybuilders were training and dieting and doing all that compared, and I compared that to the articles that were being written. And that's where the real truth started coming out. Because, for example, Mike Mincer, he was one of the first guys that I met, like big bodybuilders, because he was in his heyday back then. And he was one of the first guys that I met. And I have to tell you, the guy was very, I thought, very transparent, very smart guy. We lost that guy he was at a very young age. And unfortunately, but he was articulate, nice guy. He was nice to me, and I'll always appreciate when somebody that is at that level can take time for myself who was just getting started. But what I also did realize, you know, Mike Mincer was known for heavy duty training, which is a style of training. For the people that are out there that understand and know bodybuilding, you know what I'm talking about in his style of training. But I was under the impression from the articles that were being written that's all that he was doing was heavy duty. Very few reps, positive and negative movements, very slow movements. It's just a different way to train. But here's what I came to find out as I started sticking around that environment is that, you know, Mike Mincer was known for heavy duty, but it had more to do with that became his brand. And that became a way for him to make money off that. Nothing wrong with that. I think that's absolutely fine. But when you're talking about heavy duty in this case, as a person who is reading the magazines, you think that that's all that they're doing. And let me tell you something. It's one of those things that if you don't really know that, you could get hurt. Because the type of training that he did could expose you. But as I mentioned, as I was watching and learning from these guys, I can tell you this. Mike Mincer, in part, did heavy-duty training. But his overall program was more based on volume, which goes back to in the beginning of this show or middle of this show, I said that if you're a bodybuilder and you're trying to put on tons of muscle, which we all are, then you have to know how to do that in the most specific way. It's volume. Mike Mincer was a good example of that, just like a lot of other guys were. But I think it's sexier when you're doing an article to show people lifting, you know, all kinds of weight. But you can see that from the person like myself at that point that was watching that, I mean, I was questioning myself. I just couldn't believe that, you know, these guys were so much stronger than I was. Now, again, the, you know, the drugs do help a little bit when it comes to that. But the point is they weren't really telling me the whole story. And that's, I think, a disservice to the industry. But yet I get it, because part of what they're trying to do in magazines is sell copies. And part of guys being in bodybuilding, because bodybuilding back then, you couldn't make it a living at it just by simply winning competitions. In fact, most 95% of the guys that were competing back then, they definitely had to do other jobs to be able to do that. I mean, just taking paying for supplements and food is an expense that it's just hard to keep up, you know? And so a lot of these guys had to do whatever they had to do in order to stay in bodybuilding so they could compete in the business that they were in. You know, so I understand that. So from the bodybuilder like Mike Mincer, he was trying to make a living off of that. And that was his brand, Heavy Duty. But from the consumer's standpoint of view, I think it could be deceiving. Unless you were lucky like me, I got down there and I saw what was really going on. And it was definitely an eye-opener. Let's take a quick pause to tell you about something you are definitely going to want.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Okay, so you know, basically what I'm talking about here as it relates to these guys that, you know, back then that weren't giving all the information, you know, what's the solution to all this? And I think that the best thing is what we talked about in the very beginning of this show. Firsthand knowledge is the answer to your questions. And that's what basically I did. I mean, it was good for me to see what these guys were really doing, because that, in my mind, that put things into a perspective, and they just told me that I was on the right path. I just needed more time in the gym. And if you want to become very accomplished as a bodybuilder, and of course, you know, now bodybuilders, all kinds of bodybuilders are doing personal training. And if you want to become accomplished as a bodybuilder, you have to become a student of the game. You have to be willing to take your time. And you got to figure out how to make your living. I mean, when I started, I talked about this on another show. I did whatever I had to do, aside from robbing a bank, to make myself stay in the business. I was a short order cook, doing things I just didn't want to do. But it was perfect willingness. It was something that I was doing that I had a lot of passion for. And when that happens, you'll figure out a way. So the solution is become a student of the game. Understand that you're going to be in it for a lot of years. Why in the hell does it take 12 years to become somebody who competes at a high level? You would think that would be much sooner than that. And especially with YouTube, where you see it all, it does. It's not. You're going to have those freaks out there, maybe that, you know, one or two small percentage of these guys, you know, rise to the top. But it's not just rising to the top. It's staying relative at the top. That's very difficult to do. How many people are one and done, you know, in industry? You see it all the time. So become a student of the game. Repetition is the mother of skill. Have warrior mindset. Have warrior mindset. And I tell you, the reason why that's going to serve you well is because when the motivation is gone, because the motivation will be gone. You can't really believe, ideally you would think that you'd have motivation every time you go to the gym. But when you consider the fact that in order to go to the gym, you have to beat your ass up, you have to make every set, every rep count, at some point the fucking honeymoon is over. And it needs to be over if you want to accomplish great things. Charlie, you said you had a question.
Yeah, I got a question. So, Leo, I'm someone that struggles with losing weight, and I just want to know what would be the best. I know if you basically starve yourself, so eat less,
yep,
you will lose weight. But I don't think that works for the long run. So I want you to tell me how many meals should I eat per day, and is it better to eat more?
That's a good question. And again, there's been a lot of answers to this question over the years. I first want to address the starving yourself. Yes, you will lose weight. Okay, but you have to understand what happens and how the physiology does lose weight. Because you know what? One of the things I've said before, and probably politically incorrect, but fuck it, I'll say it anyway. I said, because people say, I've done everything with my diet and I can't lose weight. Have you ever seen a fat person in a concentration camp? I don't think so. You know, why the fuck is that? You know, because we talk about, well, it's my thyroid. We use excuses. Why can't you lose? Oh, it's my thyroid. Or I just, that person that just can't lose weight. But the truth is you eat less, you're going to lose weight. Unless you have a thyroid or a condition like that. Okay, that's true. But, you know, the thing is this. Not only is it losing weight, but you have to lose weight in a certain way. What do I mean by that? It means that you cannot lose too much weight too fast. If you're losing more than 2 pounds a week, at some point your body's going to think that it's going into a starvation mode. The minute it does that, it goes, in other words, it goes into preservation mode. What does that mean? It means that it's going to sacrifice muscle weight, and it's going to hold on to the fat till the very, very end. So you see guys that are people that do that, they become skinny fat because they've lost their muscle, but they still look fat. So you have to be very careful about that, in that you should lose 1 and no more than 2 pounds a week. And again, your body doesn't lose weight in a, in a fashion where it's just straight downhill. It's more stair-stepping. That's your physiology trying to protect you. So it's stair steps, you know, before it goes all the way down. You might lose a lot of weight in the beginning, but once your physiology recognizes that you're in a starvation mode, or thinks it is, your body changes now. It's gonna help you survive yourself, even though you might not. You know, some people do things that are destructive, and that's one of the things that they do. And again, all you're doing right there is losing muscle weight. You're even losing bone weight, which is dangerous. So 1 or 2 pounds a week, you want to make sure that you keep your protein levels up. Okay. Everything in your body is made of protein, everything, eyelashes, everything in your body. So you need to make sure that you keep your protein level up. What do I mean by that? You need to take in 1 gram to 1.5 grams of protein per body weight. So how much do you weigh? For example,
170.
So you'd take 170 grams of protein, or a little bit more if you're
a day.
And the thing that's interesting about your physiology, as fantastic as it is, it doesn't have the molecular structure to store protein. And I didn't know that until, you know, pretty late in my career. Because one of the things, I'm a student of the game, so I keep digging for information. I'm never satisfied with the information that's out there because it keeps changing and you learn more and more if you want to, you know. But I realized that... that your body can't store protein like it can store fat, like it can store carbohydrate. So it's important that you take protein all the time, because if you're not doing that, your body's going to go and take it off your body. It's going to take whatever protein that's hanging around, it's going to use it. So again, you get to that point where that's when you start exposing yourself to becoming skinny fat. That's what I mean by that. In terms of meals, this is a really interesting one too. I always thought, and I was brought up as a bodybuilder, to eat 6 to 7 meals a day. Instinctively, that just didn't feel right to me, you know? And I'm not lazy, and I wasn't trying to cut any corners, but it just didn't seem right to me. But as a young bodybuilder and even an intermediate bodybuilder, you just sometimes blind faith, you know? But what I came across years later was that you have your body releases enzymes, lipases, an enzyme that breaks down food. Okay, and it breaks, and it, your body releases bile. Those two things are they get together, and they break down any kind of fat that's running around in your body. So what I found and learned about how many meals to eat a day potentially is that if you eat fewer meals a day, you create that response in your physiology, because that comes from your pancreas, and it comes from somewhere else on your body, but it comes from the liver. So they release all these enzymes into your bloodstream when you eat less. So if you eat less, you create a situation where your body's actually producing even more enzymes to break down food, fat in your body. Okay, so I would say this, to answer your question specifically, I would say that if you eat three times a day, and if you're an athlete, four times a day, I think that gives your body enough chance in between, because in between, like when you're sleeping, that's when your body is, you know, when you're in a sort of a rest mode, if you will, that's when your body is producing and secreting the enzymes.
Is that one diet good? The one that you do, is it like you eat in an 8-hour window and then the rest of the hours you don't eat?
I've done that way too.
I can't think of what it's called.
But intermittent fasting?
Yeah.
And I did that for a long period of time. You know, I just got back in after 9 years, you know, because I had these health conditions with these strokes. I wanted to make sure that I repaired my body in a way that it could handle now more of a bodybuilding type routine. And that's why I've gone into this 6-month transformation. It's been 9 years for me. You know, this is when I learned all this other stuff that I'm talking about, because as a bodybuilder, I can think that you could make real gains if you're just eating three times a day or four times a day. But I know now that you can. Intermittent fasting is a very effective way to eat, and it does create that situation where your body releases more enzymes. Yes. Did I answer your question, sir?
That answered my question.
Good deal. And again, this is a good example of, you know, you when you're in the industry, just as a consumer, even if you're just going into the gym and training for to be more fit. That's in my mind, that's just as important as someone who's trying to be a bodybuilder. I just think that the real difference there is, as a bodybuilder, especially when you're competing at a higher level, you have to do fewer things wrong than the average person who's trying to be, you know, healthier and more fit. There's more wiggle room for you. But it's still, these are all very good questions, because the sooner that you can get, you know, the sooner that you can get on that path where at least you're in the right area, I mean, you're saving time. That's the whole point of being a personal trainer, is to shorten the learning curve down, you know. But I always tell people, you have to be willing to be responsible for your own result. Even if somebody like you who's not necessarily, you're not big time into training, although you have done training, and you're not necessarily educated in diet, which all these things are very tricky when you put it into a training program, you know. So if you can find, someone that can put you on the right path, that just shortens your learning curve. And yet, like I said in the show, I can have you eat just like I do. That doesn't mean you're going to get the same response and the same result, because we're built different. And some people respond better to a high fat diet. I did a high fat, low carbohydrate diet. But you have to be willing to, you know, to experiment a little bit and hopefully get in with somebody that understands information to the highest level. That's all I got for today.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.